I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. I'm your host, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian. I'm a writer. I've got massive boobs and very, very wobbly thighs, but I love my body. Joining me today, I'm very thrilled. It's the wonderful Reverend Kate Botley. Hello to you.
Well, hello. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are sitting in the very glamorous setting of the BBC Cat. Is that right?
The Strictly Come Dancing glitter ball is just around the corner. If you listen carefully, you can hear its presence. Oh!
We're going to do a tango after the podcast.
Wonderful.
Now, would you introduce yourself?
So my name is the Reverend Kate Botley. I am a priest in the Church of England, but I also faff about on the telly and the radio. So I do things like, I did a reality TV show called Gogglebox for a couple of years, but I also have my own Radio 2 breakfast show now on a Sunday morning, which is very exciting indeed.
Wow.
I know, right? My mother tells people in supermarkets. It's unbelievable. She like, people go, do you need any help with, like, the girl behind the till will go, do you need any help with your packing? No, my daughter's on the television. And it's like, ooh, she don't care, Mum. She don't care.
You are the Messiah.
She just wants you to know if you've got a bag for your mates. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a very naughty girl.
You are a naughty girl. And we love you for it. Now, you burst onto our TV screens. When was it? 2014?
I think it must have been 2014 on Gogglebox. And that was an amazing thing to do. What happened was I did a flash mob that went viral on YouTube. So I married a couple called Gary and Tracy, which was a wonderful, wonderful wedding. Pronounced them husband and wife. The music started. I danced, they danced, everybody danced. It got 10 million hits on YouTube. From there, the phone started ringing and people started saying, would you like to come and show off on the telly properly? And who doesn't want to do that? I'm a
have
desperate
have you thought to be on the telly?
Off.
Yes, I have, every
yes,
day.
I thought you'd never ask.
I've already prepared my Oscars speech. What do you take me for? And so, can you tell us a bit about Gogglebox? Because, I mean, I remember it very fondly, and because I'm a daughter of a vicar, to see somebody in the dog collar just being normal, just hanging out, not you know, preaching from the pulpit, not head tilt, you know, let us pray. I mean, it was amazing kind of transformation for the image of the church, basically.
Well, that head tilt that you talk about, we got on a special course at Vicar School to learn how to do the head tilt. Mm. Hello. And the voice. Anyway.
Yes, love some of your
day, isn't
biscuits.
It?
Yeah. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. What happened was, of course I'm a desperate show-off. Of course, I don't mind being looked at. I love all that sort of stuff. But actually, for me, there was a bigger thing going on where I thought there might be an opportunity to just say, do you know what? Vicars are normal people. We're just like everybody else. We sit on the sofa and shout at the telly. We have a dog that passes wind at the side of us. You know, we have husbands that we argue with or wives that we argue with. We're just normal people. Do I think anyone's going to drop on their knees in front of Friday night telly and think, see the light and go, I suddenly believe, hallelujah. Of course not. What I do think is they might go, she seems like she's a normal person. Perhaps if I ever need a clergy person, perhaps at a funeral or a time in life where you need someone to talk to, perhaps that might just make the door a little bit easier to open. Mm. Did backfire slightly though, because quite a lot of people thought I was a strippergram for a while.
Right, yes.
Which,
the naughty vicar kind.
Which I just kind of said, you know, well, I'm not, but I'll do pretty much anything for 50 quid.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, that's very good value.
It is.
Look at her. Look at her. Look. I can see her cleavage. I mean,
I know, I'm so sorry. I've just whipped my dog collar off. I thought I've had enough of my high neck. So that's the hard bit. Yeah. You kind of whip it off. But my husband says he thinks it's God's sort of little joke that I am blessed so mightily, but I have to wear a high neck for a living.
Oh, I know. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you've got a bit out in front.
Yeah.
As I do. And the high neck is the big no-no, isn't it?
It's not a good friend. And no. I remember when those shows were on in the 90s about what to wear and how to dress. And they would say, if you're blessed up top, you should always wear a V-neck. And I was like, I wear a dog collar for a... So yeah. I was thinking of getting like a peephole one.
Yes. I mean, I think that's...
a collar with a peephole. That's again, terrible, isn't it?
People will pay for that.
I hope the bishop's not listening. There are websites for that sort of thing. They keep telling
are
me.
Are there? Ooh, that's my Friday night sorted. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, no, but I don't think I'll get through your nanny filters.
Would you like to explain your relationship with your body now, today?
Well, I think if me and my body were on Facebook, we'd tick complicated. I think that's what I think that's the box we'd tick.
Yeah.
Like lots of people, you know. I'm very short. I'm only 5 foot. Well, I'm 5 foot two if you ask my doctor, because that allows you an extra half a stone on your BMI. But I'm actually 5 foot. Let's just say that. 5 foot. And I started developing blessings and boobs and bottoms when I was a quite young teenager. And because I've got very fair skin, I got stretch marks quite early, which I thought you only got when you had babies. So I was just mortified that my growing body was covered in these stretch marks. And the girls in PE didn't seem to have that. You know, the glamorous netball girls that never picked me to be their friends just didn't seem to have those when they got changed in the changing rooms.
Yeah.
And so I felt a bit weird about that. And I remember we used to, I don't know if it's the same for other people, but we used to go, when we went on holiday as little kids, we just wear bikini bottoms and run around on the beach. And I remember very clearly the holiday where I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I insisted on wearing a bikini top with my bottoms. And I remember starting to feel very self-conscious about my body, that it's not tall and it's not skinny and it's got lumps and bumps and stretch marks. And my stretch marks stretch all the way from my labia, all the way from there, all the way up to sort of just below my neckline. They go all the way. Yeah. It looks like a map of the underground, let's face it. And I just thought that was really weird. I just couldn't get my head around that is something that lots of people have. So, I'd like to say it's a love-hate relationship, but it's mostly a hate relationship, really.
It's really sad. I was the same. I remember, I feel like one morning I woke up and I'd been slashed in the night. I had deep purple ones on my abdomen, underneath my forearms, behind my knees, like all over, and no one else had it. And they probably did. I was so conscious. And, you know, again, being Australian and everybody in bikinis and sports and netball. I think netball keeps coming up in this podcast.
Does it?
Evil
it's
netball.
One of the, no, I,
it's
you know
not
what,
evil.
The, you know,
yes.
Netball's a great game. And the thing was, I love team sports, but was not particularly sporty. So I didn't get picked, but wanted to join in because I like the whole thing of people doing something. I like a group of passionate people together, with the exception of the Nuremberg trials, you know, and Nuremberg rallies, rather. I like a group of people who feel passionate about something.
Yeah.
And it was only when I went to university and I fell in with the ladies' rugby team that I suddenly worked out that actually there was a place for me in that. Because we got the skinny lasses at the back running the back. We needed some chunk up front, you know, and I was prepared to fulfil the chunk up front role.
Yeah.
And actually all the things that had been a disadvantage in things like netball suddenly became the thing that people wanted me for, short and round and stocky.
Bloody,
you know?
Strong.
Yeah,
mighty.
And determined and gritty. And, you know, if I was a dog, I'd be like a little pit bull. tenacious terrier.
So at that time, like, did you feel a transformation, like going into your 20s, a bit more love for your body, or was it...
No, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you look back at photographs of yourself in your early 20s, you think, what on earth was I worried about?
I know.
What on earth was I worried about? Two babies down, you know, it's a train wreck, let's face it. You know, it's a mind mess. I look back at pictures of myself when I was like 19 and I just think, honestly, what? What I did a few years ago when I was just coming out of my 30s was I was looking back at these photographs of me at 18, 19 thinking, what on earth was I worried about? And so I decided that perhaps when I look back at photographs of me in my late 30s, now early 40s, I might think the same. When I'm 80, I might look back and think, what were you worried about? 39, you look great. So I had a series of boudoir shots done. I had a series of naked photos done. Not for anyone else, just for me. Just so that when I am, God willing, 80 or 90, I can look back and go, oh my word, you look spectacular. What were you worried about?
Yeah.
You know, but what I want to get to is the point where actually it's not the looking back that makes me think that. It's actually looking in the mirror in the morning going, oh wow, look at you. You great mountain of a woman.
Now, you have a teenage daughter, so of course that must trigger those sort of feelings and about her relationship with her body. How do you talk about your body or talk about her body?
Well, she's amazing. I think I have such hope for the next generation. She's 17. She's also got alopecia. So coming to terms with that, with her hair falling out, was really interesting. But she calls me out all the time. Like, I didn't realise how body prejudiced I was, not just against myself but other women, and she will call me out on it.
I like her.
Every
let's get her on the show
single time, and she'll go, mum, you can't say that, and I'll go, no you're right I can't, and she'll say to, and I'll stand and look in the mirror and she'll go, you look great, mum.
Oh my God, I'm gonna
and
cry.
She's just, honestly, I have such hope for that generation coming through, because they are so positive. And she calls me to account when I talk badly about myself, and yeah, she's just like my little Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder, encouraging me.
You've raised a good un.
She's done it herself as well. I mean, it's nature and nurture, isn't it? But she is so inclusive and so positive, and I have such hope for that generation.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Religion doesn't always have the best reputation when it comes to women.
Or body image.
Or body image. And how do you feel responsible in doing your part to change that?
Well, it is, you know, there's a great passage in the Psalms that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I try and remember that when I see everybody, that, you know, that even if I struggle to see it, there is a divine spark in absolutely everybody. We're created in the divine image, you know. And so I genuinely believe that God is reflected in every single person that I meet. Sometimes you have to fight to see that, and that's not a physical thing.
Yes.
Sometimes people are horrible and you think, I will find the divine spark in
there's
you.
There's a lot of cunts out there, let's just say.
There's a lot of layers to go through with some people. But yeah, it's that whole, you know, that in the Bible, a lot of the time women are, you know, it's the virgin or the whore metaphor. You're either, that's the two things. It's very polarized. There's also the thing about physical beauty as being a gift from God, and that if you're beautiful, then you are more blessed than someone who isn't. And
I don't agree with that, God. I'm very sorry.
All this sort of nonsense. Well, I don't think God agrees with it either, because the other thing we have to remember is that all that narrative, all that scripture is framed in patriarchy. And so we have to cut through the layers again to find the true message in there, which is that you are loved and valued and you are important. And that's actually a central message. And if we look at some of the stuff that Jesus did with women that nobody, that other people would have nothing else to do with. So the woman who was having a menstrual bleeding, the menopausal bleedings and all sorts of stuff, women who were caught in adultery, Jesus went to them and touched them. Now, that don't sound like a big thing to us, a bloke reaching out and touching somebody, but that would have made him ritually unclean as a rabbi, all that sort of stuff. And we if we can read it through those 2,000 years ago eyes, it's revolutionary. Yeah. The fact that he even spoke to women, the fact that he had women around him, Mary Magdalene, and you know, this is revolutionary. So, you know, Jesus, woohoo, feminist.
Excellent.
Smash the patriarchy.
We're getting it on a t-shirt,
sorry,
listener.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
Theology in 5 minutes. There we go. Feminist theology in five minutes.
Let's walk outside of the church for a second. Let's leave the vicarage and delve into a very cold river. Kate, what have you been doing in your spare time?
I've been bitten by a cold water swimming bug recently. Though my mother worries that I will actually be bitten by a bug while I'm in that sea, in that river.
She worries.
She whittles our Margaret. I'll tell you. She whittles like nobody's business. I did a swim for children in need back in November, and to get myself ready for that, I started going to an outdoor swimming club. I've always swum in rivers and lakes, but only paddled and had a little pootle about when it's hot in the summer.
Yes, above 25 degrees,
yeah,
thank you very much.
And I started getting in September, and I haven't stopped yet. And I'm on two swims a day at the moment.
Shut up.
I went in twice yesterday, went in twice on Monday, going in twice tonight. I've got two swims tonight, two swims tomorrow. So yeah, it's crazy. And you know you've got it bad when you take the temperature gauge out and it's above 5 degrees and you're a little bit disappointed. You go, oh no, it's warm. 5.6.
Fucking mental.
It's bloody freezing.
Bloody freezing.
And, so tap water that comes out of your tap is about 12 degrees. I swam last 2 weeks ago when they had that bad frost, the coldest day of the year thing.
And you went, oh goody.
That's mental, isn't it? That's, I need help. And we walked.
God,
we
walked, are you listening?
I know, right?
We walked through this woman.
We walked through the snow together, me and these two women that I've met swimming, because that's the other thing. And, you know, women and swimming rhymes, which makes me incredibly happy. We walked through the snow together and got to this lake, and it was sort of 8 inches thick with ice. Fortunately, one of us had brought hammers with her, so we smashed the ice and got in, and it was -2. It was freezing around us, -2 in the water there.
It's like Shackleton.
It was unbelievable. And do you know what? I felt rock hard.
I
have birthed humans, I have fed them with my breasts, and I swim in ice water. I can smash the patriarchy.
And is this like a high like nothing else? Because that must... Oh, you're basically
crazy.
Addicted, aren't you?
Well, it's flight or fight stuff. So the theory is that when you get into cold water, everything in your body is telling you to get out. And it's about controlling your breathing in that moment. It's about overcoming that fear. And then when you're in the Costa coffee queue and someone cuts in front of you, you don't get as stressed because you've dealt with that stress. So you gives you techniques to just kind of my mental health has been the best it's been for the last 15 years. It's just sensational. And also, you see the best of people, because I have to say, you know, I love the chaps and all that, but it's mostly women that are swimming in the cold water. Apart from the big triathletes.
It's become a big thing.
It's huge.
Yeah.
A bit like my backside getting changed on the side of the river.
Stop it. Leave it.
The other thing is there are no changing rooms. At the side of the river in a lake, there is not a changing room. So you
no
have to
booth.
Get changed. And it's freezing, so you can't mess about. There's none of this demure under a towel nonsense. Hold this round while I get changed. None of that. You get your kit off and you get changed. There's a white van driver that drives past every morning at 7:30 when we swim. Morning, ladies. If he times it right, he gets just the right amount of an eyeful to set him up for work. We don't know his name. We're hoping he'll stop one day for a conversation. There can be no sentimentality. There can be no prissiness.
No airs and graces.
No, absolutely none at all. You know, and I remember one of my first sub-5 swims, so one of my first swims below 5 degrees, and I got out, my hands had stopped working, so I couldn't actually get myself dressed. So all of a sudden, 5 people magically appeared at my swimming club.
Your disciples.
And just stripped me down. And it was like, I haven't had anyone wipe under my boobs like that since I was breastfeeding. You know, just kind of lifting them up and giving a good towel underneath.
No fuss, no nonsense.
No fuss, no nonsense.
We're just meat
just
and bones.
Bodies.
Yeah,
we're just bodies.
And is that? Do you love your body a bit more? I know you should have said.
Yeah, and I'm amazed at my body. I mean, what I've learnt about myself in the last few years is I walked the Camino through northern Spain. So I walked through the Pyrenees, 150 miles through northern Spain. I walked that for telly. I don't do anything unless it's for telly, obviously.
I mean, if the price is right, listener.
Showbiz tart. That's what I am. So I walked the Camino. That was 150 miles. This cold water swimming. I've grown 2 humans in my body, got them out and kept them alive just by the power of my breasts for 6 months. You know, this is amazing stuff. And so when I start, because we think that body positivity is just as easy as going, well, I'm going to feel good about my body today. You have to say it to yourself every single minute of every single day. And the minute that loud voice that you've been hearing for the last 43 years, 44 next week, happy birthday to me, that voice is very loud and ingrained. And so you have to practice, just like getting in the cold water, you have to practice that motion of saying, no, I will not say that. I will not say that about my body. I will keep body positive as I can. Now, don't get me wrong. At the moment, I'm in the middle of a healthy eating thing. I'm trying to get a bit of timber off. So it's not that I suddenly go, oh, I'm going to embrace being... I don't want to be as big as I am at the moment. I'd quite like to get... But that's not about...
hating yourself.
And it's also not about how I look. I'm not as shallow to think. I look great at a size 20. I look great at a size 12. I've been both in the last 5 years. It's nothing to do with that. It's like, I'd like my knees to hurt a little bit less. I'd like to reduce my risk of heart attack so that I can swim more. Dance at my kids' 21st birthday parties and 30th birthday parties and hopefully 40th birthday parties.
Yeah.
That's what I want to happen.
You're doing your body a lovely favour.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things that really upset me. I remember a few years ago, I lost about 4.5 stone. And I didn't post anything on social media about it. So none of these, I mute people who post those things, their trousers like this. So I didn't post anything. And then I was invited down to the Houses of Parliament for a chat with some women down there who wanted to talk about faith. So it's really, really exciting. Yvette Cooper was there, who's one that I really like.
I love her so much.
Exactly.
Just with all my body,
so
I love Yvette.
I posted a picture on Facebook, and I posted a picture for a year. Posted a picture on Facebook of me and Yvette Cooper stood next to each other. Now, the previous picture I'd posted, I was a size 20. This one, I was a size 12. Every single comment below that photograph was a comment about how much weight I'd lost. Not that I was stood next to this amazing politician who is pioneering women's voices in the corridors of power. Every single one said, how much weight you lost and how you done it. Do you know what? The size of my backside is the least interesting thing about me.
Yeah. It's extraordinary that what we're programmed to discover.
It's awful.
What we championed.
We're all programmed to support it. We're all programmed to prop up the patriarchy. We're all programmed to shame each other. And enough.
That's
enough.
It. Stop that shit.
Anyway, where's that soapbox?
This has been amazing. I want to talk to you forever, but what we thought we'd do now, because I feel like we've smashed religion, swimming, big bottoms.
Give us some quick fires.
What makes you feel sexy, Kate Botley?
Matching pants and bras.
Yes.
If you can get a matchy-matchy. Oh, smashing.
What's the most favourite thing you can put in your body? What's your most favourite thing? So whether it's drink or...
Keep it clean.
Yes, I mean, it's up to you,
I'm a
love.
Clergy person.
Hello, Graham.
I don't call it great. Oh, no. Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, my favourite thing to put into the body, just food. I just adore my dinners. I love cooking. I was semi-finalist on MasterChef.
I'm a bad interviewer.
The roast pork sandwiches, hot roast pork sandwiches with crackle and applesauce. But it changes all the time. You know, I have various things that I feel passionate about. And I will make and bake things like every day for a week or 2 weeks, and then the kids will go, please, please. When I was on MasterChef, the kids go, please, no more guinea fowl. Can we have fish fingers? You know, that kind of thing.
Mum, I don't want
just food.
A foam
any food.
Or a smear anymore.
I love it. Yeah.
Now, what's your most embarrassing body moment? What have you had a moment where like a boob's fallen out?
Well,
it's a really sad one.
It's a really sad one actually. When I was at school and I was about 13, there was a boy in our class, and we didn't have school uniform in my school. So I've never done that. And I had elasticated waist trousers on in maths, and the teacher went out of the room, and the guy came up behind me, this lad my age came up behind me and pulled my trousers down, and my knickers came down with them, and I stood in the middle of that room with nothing on my bottom half, with the whole class just laughing and looking at me, and it was horrible. So that was the worst, most embarrassing, and it's not a funny story. It was just awful, and the guy managed to talk me out of going and telling on him. I don't know how he did it.
actually.
He tried to friend me on Facebook the other day, and I went, no, I am into forgiveness and reconciliation, but no, I never forgive you.
Not you. What is the best and worst thing people have said to you about your body? Or either.
Well,
or
when
worst.
You're on telly, obviously telly adds 2 stone. It also adds 35 miles north on your accent. I didn't realise I was that northern. So what happens is when people meet me, they say things like, you're not as fat as I thought you were in real life. And you're like, oh, I am here.
I mean, not that. I have a heart made of stone.
I go, oh, you're not as fat in real life, are you? I've had that. That gets said to me almost on a weekly basis. So yeah, you're not as fat in real life. Aren't you sure? Those kind of things. And then just, I remember someone who I'd never met before. Someone recognised me for telling me, "You're really beautiful, aren't you?" And I was like, "Oh my word! Oh my word!" And they weren't coming on to me or anything.
It was just a lovely thing to say.
You're really beautiful, aren't you? I was like, "Oh wow! I didn't know
Thank
that.
You.
Thank
That's
you so much.
Nice
That's a really
thing
kind
to
thing
say.
To say.
I'll say they're not all bad. Are
no,
they?
No, most people are great.
Yeah.
And
turns
the thing
out.
Is, when they meet someone famous, whatever that word means, I don't think it, anyway.
Or
whatever.
Recognize,
or they
yeah.
recognise off the telly. Your mouth opens before you know what you're doing.
Oh God, yes.
You know, I saw Olivia Colman eating a fried egg in a restaurant the other day, and I went, "Hello." I was like, "Oh, what am I doing? Stop!" And my brain's going, "Stop talking." It's a fried egg.
It's
Do you
Olivia
like fried Coleman. Eggs? Well, of course you like fried eggs. She's having a fried egg.
Oh my God.
Stupid vicar.
She was just charming.
Oh. She was just charming. She said, "Are you a real one?" Like they all do. Yeah, I am actually. So if you need a few, no, just have a word. What? Stop talking.
Now we've got a couple of final little segments,
okay,
and
cool.
then I will let you go back
Great.
To your cold river. She can't wait to get back.
I love my cold river.
Oh, my love.
Fat facts.
Now, I've got a segment that I like to call Fat Facts. So I'm going to share with you a fact about your body. And I'm going to see if you believe this or not. Did you know that your clitoris keeps growing throughout your lifetime?
I did not know that. That's amazing.
I know. And apparently by the time you hit the menopause when you're older, your clitoris is 2.5 times bigger than it was when you were young. We're going to get massive, massive little love buttons down there.
And the only thing they're for
yeah.
is for pleasure, isn't it?
Exactly.
They have no medical function.
So apparently the older we get, the better the tingle.
Oh, that's like a little payoff for the
isn't
menopause.
It? I know.
I love it. It's like,
literally.
Here's your... You see, that makes me believe in a benevolent God.
Exactly.
Here's the menopause, but here's a bigger clitoris.
A giant, giant clitoris. Anyway, I love that fact. I mean, I've been going through lots of different facts, and I was like, this is the one
it's
for
great.
Kate.
I love that.
You'll take
Why
that with you.
Why wouldn't you love that? I'm gonna drop that into conversation.
Yeah.
Did you know, Bishop?
That's right. Your ears get bigger, your nose get bigger.
Well, men's ears and noses get bigger, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that our version?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
we win.
I think so.
I think we win.
Hall of Fat Fame.
If we had a Hall of Fat Fame or a Hall of Fame, who would you put in it as your body inspiration?
I really admire Dawn French, and what I really admire about Dawn is she lost quite a lot of weight a few years ago for surgery and didn't speak about it. And she must have been offered so much money for magazine stories and book stories and just would not have any of it. So I really like that. And basically, I think the BAFTA should go to Holly Willoughby's backside. She has got a great backside, hasn't she?
It's lovely.
When she was in the jungle, me and my husband kept going, "Oh, look at that. It's lovely, isn't,
isn't it?"
Dawn, for her integrity about her weight, in that she has never... She could make a lot of money, couldn't she?
Yeah.
Doing weight loss or doing, you know, and she's never gone down that route. And I really admire her for that.
Yeah. And we love her at any size.
Yeah,
and
yeah she's absolutely.
Just, and she's always loved herself. I remember reading her autobiography and she said her father always said, "You're beautiful." And
yeah.
she's just carried that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you just think, what amazing power of words that she's carried from...
So it's it's a really obvious one. But and then all the other people that I mentioned, people like Tess Holliday and Bryony Gordon, and also Ginger Minj from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh!
All the fat drag queens are all my
body
inspiration.
Are you excited about the upcoming...
Just do not even get me started, right?
You would judge Kate.
Oh, don't even
Made
get...
an
don't
error.
Even, I'd do it for nothing.
Oh, well,
I'd do
yeah,
it for nothing. I'd pay them.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, and I think all that community as well, the drag community, you know, especially the bigger drag queens, they've got this... attitude that is just give me some of that. Where can I buy
bottle
that?
It.
Bottle that.
Yeah.
You know, it's great stuff.
Fatspiration.
What is your mantra, or what's a phrase or words that you live by, Kate?
Oh, lots of things. My granny, who lived to 102, used to go, you'd go to her, you never know, do you? And she'd go, no, you never know till you take the barrow back. I've no idea what it means. No one knows what it means. She didn't know what it meant, but I quite like that. No, I also like, if that's the worst thing that happens today, then it's still a good day. So, you know, when I come in here, I got off the train and managed to split my dress all the way up the back. So I was sat in Radio 2 this morning, sewing my dress in just my Mac. And I said to myself, this is the worst thing that happens today. It's still a great day. And then, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. If you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen. Amen. Peace be with you, Kate
and
Botley.
And also with you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, listener, for joining us today. Kate Botley, you are a true treasure.
Thank you very much. And also with you. Again.
Again. Where can people follow you, find you?
Oh, all over. I'm like dust. I get where dust can't. Twitter at Rev Kate Botley, Instagram at Rev Kate Botley, and Sunday mornings 6 till 9 on BBC Radio 2.
Excellent news. Well, thank you, producer Maddie. The music you've been listening to is by John Thorne. Yes, that is my brother. You've been listening to Fat Lot of Good Podcasts. Please rate, review and subscribe. I've been Hella Thorne. Goodbye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.